Good afternoon, everybody, as you're all connecting here. It's very nice to see your smiling faces. Happy Monday, everyone. Woohoo, it's Monday. It's nice to see you. It's sunny out. I just asked Katie, I said, is it warm out? My allergies are like kicking up. And she's like, no, it's freezing. And she was thinking crazy person, but she was nice enough not to say it. I just hadn't even paid attention, but it looks like it would be so nice and warm out.
It is. It's like 65.
Is it really?
I'm outside right now and it's actually kind of lovely and I don't do cold, so.
Okay. Okay, well, it's not that, you know, I talked to my parents live in Wisconsin last night, and they have absolutely no sympathy for me when I complain that it's, you know, 50 degrees. They're like, it's like -2 here, they say. So I'm sure some of you have relatives in colder regions as well that have no sympathy for us when 50 is cold. Well, I know that some of us will be joining us a little late because they're getting out of classes or work or what have you, but we'll get started because I don't want to, here, I'll admit, there's some more people I usually get rid of our waiting room once we start. So then people can just come in and we don't have to worry about that. So as you know, I'm Lisa Liceno. I am the director of the Program for Instructional Excellence. I'm an assistant dean in the grad school, and I'm also the faculty advisor for the Diversity and Inclusion in Research and Teaching Organization, DIRECTO. And Katie, do you mind putting my slides up for me?
No problem.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Katie. So I just wanted to, again, mention who I am, even though a lot of you have already attended other workshops that PI offers. Specific to the diversity statements workshop here is my work with DIRECTO. It's a grad student-led organization that I'm honored to serve as the faculty advisor for. And many of you, I'm sure, have heard of it. Some of you have not. And they're in the beginnings of their spring conversation series, which the first conversation series, which is a series of conversations, imagine that, led by various faculty, staff, grad students, undergrads throughout the university on topics of diversity and inclusion specific to ties with research and teaching. And the first one will be held on February 19th. I'll have a slide on it at the end of the presentation. And it's on anti-racism in course content. So it's actually very much related to what we're talking about here today. Katie, next slide, please. I'm not taking any chances. If you were here Friday, I was having trouble advancing slides, so I'm having Katie be in charge of it today. So let's talk about the session objectives for today. So at the end of today's workshop, here is what I'm hoping that you'll be able to do. First, recognize different types of diversity statement requests you might run across. Secondly, identify key components and themes of a diversity statement. Third, create your own understanding, if you don't have that already, of the meaning and importance of the terms diversity, equity, and inclusion. And then lastly, reflect on and integrate your previous experience and future plans into creating your own diversity statement. Okay, so let's talk about the different types of requests you might run across. Now, those of you, and I know many of you are here today, partly because you've been nominated for FSU's Outstanding TA Award. and you're planning to put an application together. And as part of that application, we're requiring the applicants to put together a teaching portfolio. In that teaching portfolio, and many institutions ask for this in their applications, especially if they're more teaching oriented, a diversity statement within the teaching portfolio. Now, many types of job applications are such that they do request a diversity statement, even if it's not teaching related. For staff positions, now is quite common. Companies, as in this, awards, I've seen other awards that have asked for a diversity statement, but many times employment postings are gonna ask now for diversity statements in all types of fields, not just at the university level. And I know many of you know this already. So let's talk about the differences between some of the requests. So number one, you might get a request asking for you to provide a statement detailing how your teaching service and or scholarship has specifically supported the success of students from underrepresented backgrounds in your field. Now, again, that is quite common that it's specific to how you support or have supported or will support underrepresented students. Okay, now that could be, you could create that or create a statement where that's part of the second type of request, a description of how the applicant has or and would contribute to the development of a diverse and inclusive learning community through your teaching, research, and or service. Now, this is, according to my experience anyway, the most common type of request you're going to get. And this is the one we require for FSU's Outstanding TA Award applications. So it's more, as you see, more of a general request. However, it is, so the first request, you could speak about underrepresented students and how you'd be contributing to their success in that statement. But of course, number one is very specific to the underrepresented students. And third, it could be a very, very general request in which an opening for a faculty appointment or really any other type of appointment, like I just said, it could be for a completely different field as and not necessarily a higher ed field. It may ask for all applicants to submit a personal statement on their contributions to diversity. Okay, so this, again, it might not just be higher ed, but it's a very general personal statement. Okay. Any questions? If you have questions, feel free to stick it in chat. Katie and Fong, I know Katie is good at, well, Fong is too, controlling the chat. So let me know if there's anything there or feel free. We're a nice, there's quite a few of us here, but I don't mind if you unmute yourself if you have a question along the way. So those are the various types of requests. Katie, can you go to the next slide, please? Thank you. So here's the key components that you generally speaking will want to include. Your definition and understanding of the terms diversity, equity, and inclusion. Now realize, as we all do, anybody can Google these, right? I mean, any of us can just Google diversity, equity, and inclusion and get the dictionary definition or somebody else's understanding. What they want, just like those of you who were at Friday's workshop with the teaching philosophy statement, is your understanding of what these terms mean. It doesn't mean you have to make up some you know, super duper unique understanding. You just want to put it in your own words. You don't want to obviously just copy and paste something off the internet. You want to actually think about it and put it in your own words. You can also, it's not like you have to say, this is my definition. You can weave this in your definition and understanding of these terms throughout your statement, which, by the way, just like the teaching philosophy statement, really should try and be one page long. And just like with the teaching philosophy statement, somebody's reading these, somebody's reviewing these, and always try and put yourself in that person's shoes. So they're not really going to want to read something super long because they're going to have to read a lot of documents. So keep it try to keep it to a page. Now, for the Outstanding TA Award, we do ask for it to be a page. But that's just a generally good practice to keep it to a page. By the way, if you're going up for faculty positions, that does not go for your CV. I've heard some people say they've heard from different places you should have your CV be one page. Not if you're going for a faculty position. Please do not do that. Include everything that, you know, will help the search committee understand who you are, like all your presentations and all the courses you've taught and, you know, all the research you're doing, that kind of thing. You know, your CV should not be one page, but your philosophy statement, try to keep the one page. Okay. Also include your experiences and your contributions, those you've already made. Now, this very well could take some reflection on your part. You might right away, and I remember the first time I was asked to create one, and I had actually been nominated for an award, and it was a leadership award, and I was supposed to create a diversity statement for the application package. And I thought, I had no idea where to start. This was 2 or 3 years ago. I had no idea where to start. I'd heard of them, but I've never created one before. So, you know, I had to do some research, ask some colleagues, and also do research on the internet. And to be honest, I had to really reflect on this at the time. What were my contributions and experiences? I had a couple that I could come up with, but once you start thinking about, you know, all that you have done, you know, have you implemented changes in how you do your research or your teaching? Have you attended professional development opportunities such as this workshop? And have you watched webinars? Have you been parts of webinars that discuss diversity and inclusion? Of course, within the last year, these opportunities have been around on the internet, you know, at FSU, but beyond, pretty much everywhere we look. So, I mean, it's a really great opportunity within the last year and continuing to be a part of some professional development to learn about diversity and inclusion and equity. So talk about your experiences, your contributions. Maybe you've done some mentoring. Maybe you belong to an organization, for instance, like Directo or within your discipline. Maybe you sat on a committee. Maybe you've been part of a reading group. All of those count. So really, it might take some reflection. Then talk about your future plans. What maybe you haven't had a lot of experiences, but you would love to do more in that area. So talk about that, right? This is the place to do that, to really brainstorm, what do I want to do? What can I do to really add to the diversity, inclusion, and equity in academia? And then additional considerations. And we'll talk about additional considerations next. Katie, do you mind the next slide, please? Thank you. So possible additional considerations are to think about the specific institution. Okay, so this really is in line with if you're applying for a position and they're asking for a diversity statement. Not so much an award, like the Outstanding TA Award, but if you're going to put one together, a diversity statement to apply for a position, really do your homework. Always do your homework when you apply for a position somewhere on that institution. What's their size? Are they a small college? Are they a big R1 research institution like FSU is? I see there's a question in chat. I'll get to it in a minute. But the history behind the institution, especially if you can find anything that's focused on their history related to diversity. Okay, some colleges or universities have a deeply steeped history that's tied to diversity and inclusion, and some don't. Some are new to that ballgame of considering diversity and inclusion. So really knowing about that is important in how you can help be a part of that change at that university, right? How they want to see how you're going to fit in to that institution in so many ways on all levels. But here with their drive for making their institution more diverse and equitable, right? And inclusive. So in order for them to see you as being able to contribute to that, it's really important to know where they're at and where they've been and where they want to go. Okay. So looking at where they're located, what their focus is, what type of institution, is it a historically Black institution? That's going to play a role in how you would, and looking at their history and where they're going, as opposed to a small community college up where I'm from in Wisconsin. But looking at what their history is, right? Is it in Milwaukee? Is it in Green Bay, where my parents are from, near Green Bay? Those destinations are different. But the drive for making those institutions more diverse and equitable is important. But being able to explain, you know, how you will fit in to that road of making it more equitable is really important. Let me go to the question. I see there's a question in here. What advice might you offer when we are thinking about how to frame our definition of diversity? Oh, good. I'm glad you asked that, because we're going to talk about that in a minute. So Kelechi, I hope I'm saying your name right. We will get to that in a minute. Next slide, please. So key themes, and then we'll actually get to your question. Be authentic. So show who you are. Mean what you say and say what you mean. Say what you believe, right? Align what you say to your specific job and institution. I already actually covered that. And treat this part of your application just like all the other parts of your applications. Put work into it. You know, have several drafts, have other people look it over. Have somebody that you know that maybe works with diversity and inclusion look it over for you. Really take this part seriously. And it's so wonderful right now. I think we all agree that diversity, equity, and inclusion is on the top of everyone's radar, as opposed to in previous years. The fact that people and jobs and institutions are asking for a diversity statement is in and of itself an amazingly wonderful step forward, that they're actually wanting to know your views on how you can help be a part of that drive and move. Next slide, please. So now we're getting to your question. Let's talk a little bit about these definitions. So diversity, equity, and inclusion, we often hear them together, right? But they're not the same thing, okay? So diversity, what is diversity? Diversity is what? I'm going to use an example. Here's what I like to do. Like I said, everybody can go and take their phones, take their laptops, and Google these terms, right? Anybody can do that. But that's not what we really want to do. I like to, when I'm teaching or when I'm discussing these things, use an example. Use an example to show the difference, right? So let's use an example of today's workshop, okay? Many of you were at Fridays. I actually wouldn't mind using Friday's workshop, but let's use today's workshop. So diversity. So how did I, as your facilitator, try to encourage a diverse pool of participants for this workshop? Well, here's a couple things I did. I sent a university-wide email in the weekly emails that go out advertising events across campus. So I don't know how many of you saw that, but that email goes out to everybody across campus, not just students, not just faculty, but everybody, staff included. So I wanted to make sure that everybody knew about this workshop as best as I could. So that was one effort I made to make sure we had diverse participants in this workshop and that it was open to anybody that wanted to attend, including alumni. So how did I try and get alumni involved? Well, I actually did send it to quite a few lists I have in my office. I have a list of all grad students. Yes, closed captioning. I was gonna say that. Closed captioning, so we got the closed captioning on. Now, all of you you all have Zoom accounts, I assume, unless you are alumni, you might not have the Zoom account from FSU. But the Zoom accounts from FSU, like I'm using right now, are all getting the closed captioning like I'm using. Maybe not all of you have it yet because they're rolling it out. And I heard it's not by any specific order. They're just rolling it out slowly. So I'm so glad that I have the opportunity to provide that for you. So closed captioning is another way. But is closed captioning, that's not a way to make it diverse. So we're getting into, I didn't really see your entire message in chat. Yeah, okay, Tracy. Closed captioning is actually getting into the equity part. So, going back to diversity, and I won't spend too much more time on diversity, but thinking about diversity is, for this workshop, am I including a diverse audience? And how am I going about that, right? So if I just email to those of you who have attended PI workshops before, that's not going to encourage a diverse participant pool like it would if I sent out that email university-wide, okay? Let's move on to equity now, which is what you're getting to with the closed captioning. So equity, and I like these, I like the little cartoon here. So the gentleman behind the desk says, for fair selection to select between them, everybody has to take the same exam. So please climb that tree, right? And he's saying it to all these individual animals. They're all animals, right? So that's treating them equally, right? Is it treating them equally to, ask them all, okay, I'm gonna give you an exam to see who's best, who's the best animal here and gets the award for today? Climb that tree. Yes, it's absolutely what you're all saying in the chat, equal but not equitable. And you know what? This is just something that historically in education, we have not been good at. And I'm so, so glad to see the changes that are being made. Because years ago, you know, obviously many of you have been around long enough to have been in a classroom where the standard thing to do was get up and talk the entire time as an instructor. You know, that's what we do. We talk, we expect you to take notes, especially at the college university level. And we lecture, that's what we do, we lecture, period. Well, that's not equitable, is it? That's not inclusive. Equity is about giving our students what they need in order to succeed, okay? But as Thomas Jefferson, I think, said, because this quotation is often attributed to him, nothing is more unequal than equal treatment of unequal people. And we all bring our own identities with us wherever we go, including the classroom and the learning environment, right? We can't help it. We're us, we're unique. We all bring our uniqueness with us, including the instructors, okay? So, in order to be able to, as an instructor, help our students learn, identifying that they all have their unique backgrounds, experiences, cultures, religious beliefs, attributes they have, right? Yeah, I like Owen about the respect. Yeah, treat each person with respect at all times. So the closed captioning is a part of that to provide equity. I remember in our last workshop, somebody said they have a little bit of a hearing problem, which I also do for some reason in one of my ears, probably the loud music along the way. A lot of us have hearing issues, but not to the point where, we go see the special accommodations. That's very common. But the closed captioning helps. Well, guess what? This is getting into universal design. The closed captioning helps pretty much anybody. You know, I might be able to hear just fine, but the closed captioning helps me anyway to stay on track. I can read it and listen at the same time. That's using more than one of my senses. And the more senses we use with the material, the more apt we are to learn it. Okay. What about inclusion? Inclusion to me overlaps a lot with equity. And it's a stark difference between diversity and inclusion. So diversity is bringing all these people to the table, you know, bringing you all, not bringing you, but inviting you all to this workshop. One, so glad you attended. But then not including you, right? So you're here, but you really don't have any say in the workshop. Well, how do I include you? I really promote chats. I like to promote you to unmute yourself if you want to talk. I know some people think they should wait, and that's fine because it's more orderly, understandable. I like to use breakout rooms as another option, which again overlaps with equity. Some people are more comfortable talking in small groups, some aren't. So actually I have very laid back rules when it comes to the breakout groups. If I have somebody that's not comfortable with a breakout group, they can stay in the main area and opt out, okay? I make sure that I include people, right? And in my classroom, here's a big one. In classrooms, we all know we have those students that don't feel comfortable raising their hand or contributing. Thinking about ways to include them and making them comfortable and giving them confidence, because that's really a lot of times what they need is confidence, right? So thinking of ways that you as the instructor can make them comfortable. It's not that you're coddling them, you're being equitable. You're giving them support that they need to grow and to learn, okay? Anybody else want to add to that? Let's see, closed captions, a matter, yeah. They are, they do seem to be overlapping. Does anybody else want to say about the equity and inclusion when it comes to the closed captioning? It seems very overlapping to me. Oh, also have the opportunity to ask to slow down. Yeah. It's funny, there's some news stations I watch, and I won't say which ones because I want to be inclusive and, you know, respectful of other people and what news channels they watch. But some of them, they talk so darn fast. I actually use the closed caption because they talk so fast. I wish I had the option to ask them to slow down. But one thing I do have is the option to rewind on my TV, thank goodness, and the closed caption. A Zoom example, oh, Katie, for equity and inclusion, we encourage all of you to participate and engage with us, inclusion, but we give you the option, yeah, to chat. Keep your camera off, right? Katie, is there anything else you want to add?
I was just going to affirm that I do think there is a lot of overlap between equity inclusion, and that's why it does get a little tricky when you're trying to sort of talk about it and figure out what those nuanced differences are. And I think that's why whenever we talk about this topic, we don't typically just talk about diversity or equity inclusion. It's the three of them together, because they're, you know, this trio of concepts that all work in tandem with one another.
Right, exactly. Now I'm going to give you an opportunity to include you more, because I know some of you are thinking a lot of things but haven't put it in chat, and you might want to discuss further, and it's hard with 60 some people. Katie, can you go to the next slide, please? Thank you so much. So 1 minute and we'll get to the activity. Experience, contributions, and future goals and plans. This is the part of your diversity statement that's going to take up the most in that statement, is talking about what you have done and what you will do. Now, you can speak about your service and community, and depending on the request and what it's for, you probably do want to do this. So again, going back to, have you been doing some mentoring, some advising that can take all different types of shapes and forms, really, you know, reflecting on your previous experience. Talk about your teaching. I emailed, and this was in the vein of inclusion and equity too. So I emailed you if you signed up for this workshop, and that wasn't inclusive and equitable because I only did it. I meant to do it this morning for those of you who signed up after I sent it out. So I should have done that to be more equitable and inclusive. But I did send it out yesterday, late afternoon, the PI Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Action Plan Checklist for teaching to allow you kind of an area to think about different parts of your teaching and how you would make it more equitable. What are some little things you could do, or bigger things, but even just the little things that add up to make your learning atmosphere, no matter what your instructional role is. And that is being equitable and inclusive too. No matter if you are a grader or the instructor of record, both of those are hugely important roles, as we all know. And what can you do in your instructional role to make your teaching more equitable and inclusive, right? And what will you do in the future? And then we also will talk about in your research and scholarship, what you have done and what you can do to encourage diversity and inclusion and equity. Next slide, please, Katie. So here's where we'll get to the activity, but let me explain it first. And Katie's also gonna put the link in the chat box to the place or the page on the website where the action plan is located. Like I said, I did email it out yesterday. And the reason I do that is so I'm this way. I like to look at things if I have time. That's the big thing, if I have time. Before I attend workshops, if it's something that I have the time to do, I like to be able to look at it beforehand if I'm gonna have to work with it. That's one of the ways I learn best personally, is or if there's reading. So Friday's workshop, if you were involved with that, I sent out the readings beforehand. And there's a really important reason why I did that. It was with equity in mind. So those who are maybe slower readers, again, which I am, or English isn't your first language, so reading will take longer, maybe. And those of you who just feel more comfortable speaking about something if you've had a look at it first. So that's why I did that. But Katie will put the link too. So here is a document I created in the fall. And I thought it was a way to kind of get your ideas, your juices flowing, and to actually document and create a checklist for yourself on ways you can incorporate certain types of diversity, equity, and inclusion into, again, your specific instructional role when it comes to certain areas. One thing I didn't put on here was curriculum, but you could certainly add that. I know you're not all in charge of your own curriculum. However, you could talk about curriculum in the future. But I did have on here student participation and discussion, assignments and activities, grading and feedback, and communication. These might not be areas that we normally sit around and think about. How can I, you know, make the student participation and discussion more equitable, more inclusive in my classroom, whether it be on Zoom and remote right now or face-to-face? What about when it comes to assignments and activities? How about grading and feedback? And how about communication? So what I'd like you to do is I'm going to break you into breakout rooms. And just like I said, when it comes to equity and equitableness, if you're not comfortable going into a breakout room, that's perfectly fine. But I'm going to put you into small breakout rooms of like four people and allow you some time to think about this and what you might put and discuss it with each other. And my reason for that is that's a really important way that many of us learn is by talking to each other and sharing ideas. And the cool thing about this workshop is so many of you come from different academic areas, you can really learn a lot from people who aren't exactly like you in that you don't come from the same discipline and you have different teaching techniques. Okay, so that's where diversity comes into this workshop too. Okay, let me find, why can I not find it? Oh, is somebody else the host? I can't find, oh, now I have the breakout rooms, okay.
I'm going to pause the screen share for just a moment so that I can put that link in the chat.
Thank you, Katie. Any questions before I put you in the breakout rooms? Any questions about what we're asking you to do? Just brainstorm ideas for how you would include small changes in your classroom or things you've already done to promote. It's not showing me. Oh, okay, I got it.